Coming up this week on Vacation Land, we're back with an all-new show. A disease outbreak in Anaheim sends 12 people to the hospital. Knott's announces the return of a popular discount. And Disney makes cuts to both its workforce and its annual pass offerings. Plus, a little bit later on, Brandis and John will talk about their experiences at Knott's Berry Farm's annual pass party. And we're going to preview all of the holiday offerings around the Southern California parks. All that and more from an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean. This is Vacation Land. This is Vacation Land, the week of November 27, 2017. Connect with Vacation Land online by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, and our Instagram, VL Podcast. Instagram is very, very popular. Also, don't forget you can now find us on iTunes. By popular, I mean we have like less than 100 followers. You can find us now on iTunes. So if you like what you're hearing, please go on over to iTunes and click on that subscribe link. Leave us a little bit of feedback. You can also email us, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com, if you have any comments, constructive or otherwise, or you have anything you would like us to talk about on a future show. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Vacation Land, a discussion on the latest news, views, and reviews, history from around Southern California theme parks and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of Vacation Land. And this week, I am joined by YouTube sensation Brandis Stratman. A special guest today, producer John is associate producer John is out on a business trip this week. So this week, you may remember him from such shows as last week. Brandis' husband, John Stratman, we'll be referring to him as John number two.
Or a temp, if you will.
There we go. It's Bring Your Spouse to the Podcast Week, part two. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
That's wonderful. So we had a really great response to you being here last time. I think you had a lot of really good insights. And quite honestly, everybody else is either sick or out of town. So
so that was your last. That's good. No, I had a lot of fun, so I'm glad to be back.
Thank you for joining us. And once again, joining us also on the microphone is Disneyland author, historian, raconteur, poet warlord, professor of history at Cal State Fullerton, Dr. David Marley.
Hello there.
Welcome, David.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. All right. So again, we're back with an all-new show. I am back from Walt Disney World. I spent 8 days out there, and it was so much fun. I basically spent the entire time eating and drinking around, like, Florida. So it was really fun. I think I gained about 5 pounds. I didn't do very many rides. We literally just ate and drank our way around Florida. So thank you for sticking around. We hope you enjoyed some of the supplemental shows that we put out there for you, and especially our bit on the history of the Disneyland Hotel, which was very, very popular. Also, we're recording this on the weekend of Thanksgiving. So I'm going to go around the table. John and Brandis, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. We actually had two Thanksgivings.
One with family, one with friends. And both were awesome.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Enjoyed some Cards Against Humanity with friends. So.
Yeah, I saw that Facebook post.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was awesome. I love that. I love Facebook. I love the Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
Stuff. That's a lot of fun. David, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. We played Cards Against Humanity, too.
Oh, nice.
Although I had to sort through all the dirty cards and hide them. So I could play with our daughters.
Then you just play apples to apples.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's like Cards Against Humanity, except it's not offensive.
With okay. Its family version.
Oh, okay.
Except it was
this
first.
This is the slightly edgier family version.
There must not have been very many cards left.
Right? There's a kind of a thick stack, okay, yeah, ones I took out. But it was fun. We went Airbnb'd out in the desert, and just the family. It was great.
That's cool. Was it just your immediate family?
Yeah, and we had whatever you want for Thanksgiving, so... My one daughter had a bowl of black beans because that's all she wanted. And my other daughter had crepes with strawberries. And my wife and I had jambalaya.
That sounds both amazing and terrifying. I'm a total type A personality, so I need to have my like traditional Thanksgiving dinner. I need to have my traditional Thanksgiving meal. My family hates turkey. My wife hates turkey. So I go out to Stater Brothers. Yeah, hates it. Everybody hates it but me. But so I go out to Stater Brothers, and I buy a like, 2.5 pound frozen turkey breast that I put in the oven. And then we make a giant ham because everybody likes, who doesn't like Thanksgiving ham? So, all right. Well, thank you guys very much. Again, we're back from the holidays. So we're just getting used to being back in the game again. But we have a jam-packed show this week because there were so many things that were happening in the parks while I was gone and while we were kind of taking a little bit break. Speaking of taking a break, I believe our last show of the year is either going to be December the 9th or whatever the weekend after that was, if it doesn't bleed too much into Christmas break. But December the 9th is going to be our last show of the year. We're going to give everybody a chance to kind of stay away from the studio and enjoy their holidays and enjoy their time, and hopefully we'll be able to bring back the entire team and discuss on our next show what we're looking forward to in the holidays and what we've enjoyed so far in all the park's holiday offerings. I know Brandis and John and I and associate producer John were talking about making a group field trip to see Knott's Merry Farm. So we will be back January 6th with all new episodes, and it is time for Park Hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Welcome one and all, y'all come have a ball, things are very fine, riding on the old Knottsberry line.
All right, did you remember, as you may remember, Park Hopping is our news segment, so I'm actually going to kick things off here. As I said before in the intro, Disneyland is cutting back on some of its workforce. So Disney employees laid off amid restructuring at parks and resorts. More than 145 employees were notified today that they were being laid off amid restructuring at Walt Disney's Parks and Resorts, the company said. This was a couple of weeks ago. Disney said that the restructuring involved more than 0.1% of the division, meaning that more than 145 people are losing their jobs. The cuts were made to the human resources, finance, marketing, and sales operations departments for the global division of more than 145,000 employees at 12 theme parks and 52 resorts in North America, Europe, and Asia. Notices were not seen on a Florida state website where large-scale layoffs must be posted, which tells me that some of them are coming from overseas or the last round of parks and resorts layoffs. A lot of layoffs came from Disneyland Resort, sort of middle management and things like that.
As long as HR people got fired, that's all that matters.
Well, and it's so the LA Times reported last week Walt Disney ESPN was also under financial pressure and plans to lay off more than 100 employees this year. The company's leaders had praised the popularity of new rides at Walt Disney World and Disneyland as strong performances at the Shanghai and Paris theme parks for spurring growth, despite Walt Disney World shutting down recently for 2 days in September because of Hurricane Irma. The division's revenues rose by 6% to $4.7 billion at Disney's parks and resorts, which, while operating income jumped 7% to $746 million. Last month, as you may remember from our last show, SeaWorld announced it was also laying off employees. The company eliminated 350 positions at its corporate headquarters and the parks in Orlando and San Diego to free up more money to reinvest in new attractions and for a new advertising campaign. So, as David said,
is that laid off or taken out by orcas? It's too soon. Too soon.
Ooh, ooh,
sorry.
Ooh,
sorry.
Just kind of just you dangle them over the orca. Beg for their job. No. So as
the record, his was meaner. All
right. So I think you pointed out. So at the same time that they're posting on Facebook that they're doing all of this hiring for the resorts, I'm really glad that they're firing the people that are in charge of hiring the people to staff the parks. That's like anybody else is kind of ironic.
It's not firing. It's laying.
Sorry,
off.
Laying off. Laying off. They are eliminating. You're right. They are eliminating those jobs. So
they're giving them an opportunity.
Yeah.
To advance into another field.
When people would get fired laid off. when I was working at the park, we would tell them that they're being promoted to guest.
Oh, nice. Oh, saddest wow. Christmas ever.
Oh, and wow. It is because it's the week before Thanksgiving and they just got.
But the home. Guest is the most important person.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's funny that, no, it's not funny, but that it's interesting that this report was actually put out, I think, a week or two before the latest earnings report. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the latest quarterly earnings call pretty much confirmed the suspicions that the only division of the Walt Disney Company right now that's making any money whatsoever is Parks and Resorts. They had an increase in operating income. They had an increase in profit. And so I guess their answer was to just go ahead and lay everybody off.
So is that how they made their profit?
That's actually one of the ways that they...
I was gonna say, it's been that way since 1955, or maybe since 1957. The theme parks are the one division that consistently make money.
The movie studio was doing okay for a while. They had some real bombs last year.
But it can go up and down. It can have a Marvel year, then it can have a John Carter movie. But the parks are always pumping money, which is ironic because out of the whole corporation, those are the lowest paid employees too, are the theme park ones.
Well, they've been making, and I think a lot to John Number Two's point, I think a lot of
can we change it to John the Second?
That's a little bit better. John the Second?
No, I'm just kidding.
We can do John the Second.
Let's change it every time.
Something it's different.
Cool. My favorite musician's name is Chris Number Two, so this is kind of
nice.
Next, it'll be John Dos.
Ooh, that's bueno.
John Dos.
That isn't bad.
John Dos. So a lot of over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, ever since the 50th, they've been increasing their profit, but so they'll staff fewer positions. So if you go to Disneyland, you'll notice a lot of positions that were staffed previously. There were a lot of guest contact positions, a lot of things that didn't necessarily generate income. So things like attractions, things like custodial, things that cost the company money, but aren't somebody working in a shop where they can point to somebody and say, okay, well, we made this amount of money, and that's how we validate spending this much on labor. Over the years, it's been one of the talking points is that Disney's making these profits, these large profit margins, by cutting back on staffing. So
let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is that okay?
No, absolutely not. This is not that kind of show. Right. Moving on.
When someone gets the promotion to guest, if you will, is it like a ice cold, like, boom, you're out of here, like, get out of staging? Like, is it like...
I think it depends. It depends a lot on your position. David, do you have anything to add with that?
When they get laid off at a corporate level?
Well, I guess either like corporate level or even like at like at
the park. Because I can tell you from first-hand experience, when you get promoted to guest as a frontline cast member, there's a sequence of events that happen. First, they'll call you up to, I don't know, let's just call it the West Side office, and they'll read you, you know, the list of charges, and they'll say, okay, this is what we basically have against you. Yeah, this is what we have against you. Please sign this paper, take your ID, and then, I mean, it's literally a matter of seconds.
Boom, out the door.
Yeah, and then you're escorted off of property, and you're, you know, taken out to the, past the security gate, and given a firm handshake, and a...
That way at any company.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's true.
I was going to say, I worked for a very small company where my position was eliminated, and it was very, I thought we were all friends kind of deal, like taken into the boss's office thinking I was going to get a raise, and while he was in there firing me or laying me off, they had somebody clean out my desk for me, so when I opened his door, there was my box of stuff. And
yeah.
I've never been fired,
not even allowed
so
to go to my
know.
Computer or say goodbye.
Yeah, I worked for a summer as a... at a company, and I came in, and there were all these security guards there. And I was the temp. I'm like, what's the security guards for? And this other guy goes, just watch. And I sat there, and I watched them walk in, and they escorted people to their desk.
Yeah.
And a security guard stood there and watched the people clean their desks out. And it was like they were criminals. And a month later, the boss asked me if I wanted to go from being a temp to a full-time employee. And I said, no, because I saw how you treated these people like they were criminals. He's like, well, that was just a... And I said, and I'm going to be a professor, and I don't want to come to work every day. What are you on crack 5 days a week? What are you, nuts?
I think a lot of it too, especially in the frontline cast members.
Is it really easy to get in that situation where you have like, is it strikes against you?
Yeah, or? Well, the way that Disney, the way that Disney does like a progressive, progressive discipline where if you, however many infractions you make, they'll make a written record of it. Okay. So they'll say, okay, so this is, you know, you've done this, this, and this. And also their attendance system is based on what they call points.
So I worked at a bank. Yeah, I worked at a bank that did that.
Okay, so yeah, so every time you call in or every time you're late, you get, you know, if you're late, you get a point and a half. If you're, you call out sick, you get 3 points. So if you accumulate 9 points in a quarter or 9 points in 3 months, then you'll get a written warning. But Disney's weird, and maybe it's not so weird. Maybe it's just the way that corporate America works. The better your relationship is with management, the more leeway they'll cut you. I've had friends that were fired, but because they were short of manager, they were promoted to guest. But because the management was short-staffed that day, they were just kind of, I think they took their ID and said, I don't really have time to walk you out of the park today.
Go have fun.
See you later. Yeah. You know, find your way to the exit at some point. Yeah.
So then they got to really be guests that day.
Yeah. Yeah. My fantasy was always just to walk, you know, to if I ever got fired, to just walk down Main Street in full costume smoking a cigar. That's
terrible.
But
I almost don't want to know this. I love this.
But David, do you have anything to add? Have you ever seen anybody get fired from?
Have you ever seen any crazy get fired scenarios? Like,
because David was up in the, I mean, not for bad reasons, but you were the only time I was up in the West Side office was when I was in trouble. So that was a. You ever seen anything crazy up there?
The only thing I saw was it was at a different attraction on the west side of the park, and they brought this person in to be the opening lead at not Jungle, at a different attraction. But they brought him in to open the attraction, get it running. They brought him in and said, we're pulling your knowledge and you're being suspended. But they didn't do it until all of the leads for that attraction were gone. So they pulled this person from Jungle, said, hey, be the lead, come open the attraction for us. And as soon as they did it, they said, oh, come to the office when you're done. They said, you're on suspension for a week for too many points and whatnot. But they kept him around long enough to do what they needed. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, yeah. And then there's a good friend of ours who they told her, you have too many points, we have to let you go, but we need to keep you for 3 weeks so you can train more people and help us.
Oh, wow.
And would you be willing to do that? But we're still going to fire you at the end. And so
I believe her answer was no.
No, I think she stayed.
Did she stay?
Yeah.
Okay.
The money, but
it's a big corporation with thousands of people, and they just, I learned that when I applied there both times, is they didn't care where you were going. They just had openings, and they just had to put bodies in those slots. Yeah. And they don't care where you wanted or where you might be best. They just had positions they had to fill.
You're just a number, and that's the best way they can work it, because they're so big.
You might want to be a skipper, but I got openings at Coke Corner, and you're the fifth guy in here, and I need six people. So you and the next guy are going to Coke Corner.
I think when I hired in 1999, I went in new attractions in 2000. There was still a little bit of that, like, where do you want to be? What do you want to do? Like, where do you think you'll be best? I think once California Adventure and once the second theme park started really ramping up hiring, it went more to that. I need 20 people, and I 20 people just walked in the door. This is where you're going.
Yeah.
Never mind where you actually.
What's the turnover like there? You got a lot of new people coming in, a lot of people going out.
A lot of new people. Disney's great. We worked, and there's a lot of perks that come along working for Disney. However, when you work as a frontline cast member, you're not making a lot of money. There's a lot of demands on your time. So if you're not a student and if you're not really there to work there forever, there's people coming in. Some people are just there for a summer. Mm. Some people are just there for, you know, because their parents told them they had to get a job. We used to know a guy there that was really wealthy, and his parents were really wealthy, and his parents told him, you've got to go out and get a job. So he was a Jungle Cruise skipper for a while. There are lots of retirees. So it's like any sort of service job where there's a lot of people that come in and a lot of people going out, you know, almost simultaneously.
Yeah. And it used to not always be that way. In the early 1980s, the average Disneyland cast member had been there for 11 years.
Wow.
And now the average Disneyland cast member has been there for 8 months.
Oh.
And they don't stay longer than about a year and a half or 2 years. That's average. Turnover's pretty high, and Disney doesn't mind that.
Yeah. I was there for 4 years. I was there from 1999 to 2003. You were there.
I was there for 3.5 years.
Three and a half years. So we came in at slightly above the average. So thank you. Thanks for that contribution. John, let's actually, John Dose. Let's move on to your story.
Oh, okay. Knott's Berry Farm announces free admission days for fire and law enforcement personnel. Knott's Berry Farm has announced fire and law tribute days November 27th through December 15th and January 8th through the 31st. During this time, active fire and law personnel and one guest will receive free admission. They will also purchase. They may also purchase up to 6 additional tickets for $40 each, November 27th through December 15th, and for $35 each, January 8th through the 31st. Eligible personnel include ATF agents, bailiffs, California Department of Forestry, California Highway Patrol officers, county, state, and federal police, sworn officers, correctional officers, county sheriff officers, ambulance company, emergency medical techs, Department of Youth Authority, district attorneys, FBI agents, Homeland Security, police explorers, peace officers, probation officers, reserve and volunteer fire and law employees, sheriffs, U.S. Forest Service personnel, U.S. Marshals, and wildland firefighters. But you must present identification, which I imagine all these people have plenty of.
You know? I bet they're going to cut back on security on those days. It's a way to save money.
Maybe. These guys are probably the most handful, you know, the most trouble. Unless you would think.
They're all packing heat.
Yeah.
Most reason to drink.
Yeah. So if you want to go to Knott's Berry Farm Fire and Law Tribute Days, it opens from 10 a.m. daily, November 27th through November 27th through December 15th and January 8th through the 31st. If you want information, you can call 714-220-5200 or just visit knotts.com.
So, yeah, this wasn't a huge story. I got the email notification about this, and I just think that it's a very cool thing that Knott's does for, you know, fire and law enforcement, and they've been doing this for many, many years. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine used to date someone who was a sheriff's dispatcher, and so we would go to Knott's every year but on the other side of that, these days, I don't know, maybe if you guys have ever noticed this, these days tend to get very, very busy.
We went one time where it was like, if you serve in the armed forces,
sure.
And man, it was super packed, but rightfully so. I mean, they do a lot for the country, you know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
That's the way it should be.
They do a Veterans Day thing too.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A friend of my wife's goes in. Yeah, he's a Vietnam vet.
Yeah,
and goes every year.
And that's cool.
So yeah, it's just again, it's just a nice thing that they do, and I think it's a small token of Knott's appreciation for their service, and it's great that they can buy discounted tickets, which is what we used to do. So
yeah.
Our friend's boyfriend used to get in for free because he worked for the sheriff's department, but we would also buy cheaper tickets in them.
And there's always plenty to do, even if it's busy because they're having an event like this. You know, maybe the ride lines will be longer, but there's so much to do there. You can kind of just take that time to, you know, look at stuff you haven't seen before.
Yeah, as pass holders, we do rides when it's their slow season and there's no lines or it's early entry for pass holders. But on busy days like veterans get in free days, that's when we do all of the shopping and shows. Hmm.
David, you wanted to say something?
Oh, when I was a school bus driver, they used to let us in for free. Like if we took a field trip there, they would let us into Knott's Berry Farm for free. Disneyland didn't.
Really?
But I would, you know, like a fifth grade, sixth grade graduation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would drop off the kids in the morning, go do my route. Then in the afternoon, I would go pick them up, and I would drive up Beach Boulevard as fast as I could. And I'd park the bus. The other bus drivers would hang out and smoke, and I would run across into the park and go on one or two rides. And then
I seemed like they would do that. Yeah,
they were very cool about it.
Yeah.
I just had this experience recently where I got to chaperone a high school choir trip to Disneyland. Participated in Magic Music Days or whatever they're calling it now, Showcase Community Arts, or whatever it is. But anyways, so as they were getting off the bus, I asked the bus driver, I said, "Oh, are you gonna go in?" And the bus driver said, "Oh, they don't let us in for free." So
and they used to.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah. My former boss, my mother-in-law, in the 70s and 80s, Disneyland would let you in for free.
It sounds like the 70s and 80s was a real turning point for the way that the attitudes changed at Disneyland. I hear that a lot.
It's Eisner, pre-Eisner and post-Eisner. Huge change in the way that the company was run. I've learned that from all of the skippers I've interviewed.
So much more corporate.
Yeah.
Right?
I know that the way that they handle their media pass requests, too, is also very different. Knott's will pretty much give anybody media passes that, you know, as long as you have some sort of a credential or a website. But Disneyland, even when I was there in the early 2000s, I know that for media passes and free tickets, it's a process. If you're not a member of a major media outlet, then they're not.
They won't let you in for this podcast?
Yeah. You know what? I have not asked.
You should ask.
I should totally ask.
What if they let us broadcast there and then we could go do stuff?
You know, I bet you we could broadcast from Knott's. Because they have like a media.
Oh, Knott's for sure. Disneyland, yeah. No way.
And I have interview experience. I could grab people to interview them.
There you go. There you go. All right. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Brandis, you've got a couple of stories to read for us.
Yes. First, Disneyland to discontinue Southern California Annual Pass for now. The popular Southern California Annual Pass that allows visitors entrance to Disneyland and Disney California Adventure on certain days year-round will no longer be available for new customers for the time being, a Disney spokesperson confirmed. Starting Monday, November 20th, the $469 pass, one of Disneyland's least expensive annual pass options, will go on hiatus. The Southern California Annual Pass option was removed from the Disneyland.com website on November 20th. Current Southern California Passport annual pass holders will have the option to renew. Those who have passes that expired recently will receive a letter soon on how to renew the pass. With an estimated 1 million annual pass holders and Star Wars Land, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening in a couple years, and other attractions such as Pixar Pier coming in the new future, Disneyland officials appear to be taking another step to managing future crowds and spreading out the demand. Last year, Disneyland introduced a tiered ticket pricing structure to spread out the crowds. Earlier this year, Disneyland increased the price for admission tickets and annual passes. This is the second time the Southern California Passport was discontinued. In 2014, Disneyland officials removed the annual pass to better manage the crowds that come Sundays at the theme parks. Disneyland later reintroduced it in 2016. Disneyland now offers five types of annual passes, ranging in price from $339 to $1,049. The Southern California Passport is one of two annual passes available for Southern California residents living in zip codes 90000 to 93599, from San Diego to north of San Luis Obispo. The pass allows visitors to enjoy both Anaheim theme parks for about 215 days with blackouts on Saturdays, holidays, and half of the summer. Its affordability, about $31 monthly with no interest after a $97 deposit, has made it a popular choice for local residents. Southern California Select Passport, which allows visitors 170 days access to both theme parks, mostly on weekdays, will still be available. It's priced at $339.
All right. So, thoughts on this, David?
I don't know if I said this last time I was here. I'd be happy if they got rid of the annual passes altogether. I know everybody hates me for saying that, and I hate me for saying that, but the park is just way too crowded, and it makes me feel bad for guests that only get to come once or twice in their life.
When did they start annual passes?
Right before Eisner showed up, like in 82 or 83.
Okay. So I remember as a kid, you could get in cheaper if you brought a piece of mail that showed you were a Southern California resident on certain days.
Yeah, they had that, and they still do that sometimes. Deals for Southern California residents, like three-day passes and whatnot.
Like two firsts and whatnot.
So yeah, maybe if they got rid of the pass, but like said 50% off ticket price for, you know, Southern California residents.
Exactly. And that's why I didn't renew my annual pass a few years ago. Because I remember just looking at families and knowing, because I worked there, that there are people that sacrificed a lot to go and then had to put up with all these Orange County people that get in their way. And when I went to Walt Disney World, I had a lot of fun, and I thought, I would be so pissed if this line was filled with Orlando residents that were just filling up the line and moving, getting in everybody's way and just like, let me have fun here.
I think
it's not your house.
And I've talked to the problem with Disneyland, the problem Disneyland is having right now is that they are very reliant on annual pass holders, and they've become really reliant on this monthly payment system, which I think is the bigger problem. I don't know if getting rid of annual passes is the answer. I do think that getting rid of this monthly payment system, which, full disclosure, I take full advantage of. I'm a Disneyland annual pass holder, and I pay my monthly payment. I know, right? I do.
See, the thing is, though, with them getting a monthly, I mean, I can't imagine that they'd want to get rid of that. That's like monthly. They must make so much money each month from
it's
that.
It's like, remember when we worked at Starbucks and they had that gold card that you could buy into?
Yeah.
Brandis. Okay, so the problem with getting rid of that gold card that you could buy into is now you've got a monthly, and it's the same thing with the annual pass. Now you've introduced a monthly revenue stream that you can count on being there every month. and it's going to be really hard for them rehab themselves off of the
once you've tasted it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, like you said, it's if there's too many people there, like the last 2 years we went, it was super super crowded compared to before, I've noticed. And you know, but without a, I don't know, pass holders, maybe they can just do like more blackout dates or something. Or,
well, and the way that the Southern California Select pass, with this one that they're eliminating, it's basically if you have a Monday through Thursday to go in February. Like, this is basically okay. Is the only time this pass is available. Okay. There's no weekends. There's very little Fridays. You can't go during summer. You can't go during Christmas time. You can't go you can't go a lot of the times. So basically, it's the babysitter pass. And so,
gotcha. If you're home during the day with your kid, you can do
you
that.
You can just go to
That's
Disneyland.
The perfect scenario there.
Exactly.
I've had a lot of friends that gave up the pass once their kids started school because they'd have to miss school.
Right.
To take care, to make the pass worth it.
Yep. What's more important, school or Disneyland? I mean, let's get real about it.
Well, if you miss more than 20% in a semester, you get called in up and...
Yeah, but if you miss a certain amount of times going to Disneyland, like, you got a whole other problem.
You grow up weird.
Yeah. Life is over.
Yeah. So you're, you know, school district threatening CPS on you or Disneyland?
Disneyland.
Yeah.
Every time.
There you go. John was raised right.
That's why we have a yin and yang situation here as parents. I'm not.
We balance each other out.
I don't get to make those decisions.
So this is the problem that Disneyland is facing right now. I've also talked to people that I know of in the executive building that Disneyland fully acknowledges that part of the problem is that they don't get the international visitors. They don't get the types of visitors that Walt Disney World gets. Walt Disney World gets mm-hmm. the tourists that are there for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days.
Because they have all
those
other parks, right?
Correct. Yeah. And so Disneyland, through the annual pass system, has kind of become like going to the mall. Yeah. And the problem with annual pass holders is that when they go, we just did this the other day. We wanted to go see the Festival of Holidays, and we wanted to go see some of the Christmas decorations. And so we went to Disneyland. We were there for about 3 hours. We saw a movie and we went home. We didn't spend a lot of money. We maybe bought a soda. We maybe bought a movie ticket, but we didn't spend the kind of money that Disney needs tourists to spend. And those are the people that are coming from out of town, and they're just not getting those.
But you did, because you pay your monthly payment.
I do pay my monthly payment.
How we do knots with our passes is the whole point of it is we pay our monthly cost over the 6 months till it's paid off, and then it's free fun for us.
Right.
Let me ask you,
we don't
this.
Have to eat there. We could, you know, bring in our own water. We go there just to do like a couple rides or to just see a show or go shopping, and then we're done.
Right.
With a pass, Disneyland pass holder, do you also get California Adventure?
You get both parks.
Oh, I'd be surprised that you think that would filter out some of those people from that park to the California
and a lot
Adventure
of the,
park.
A lot of annual pass holders do go over to California, like the older annual pass holders, mm-hmm. like myself, we go over mm-hmm. because you can, quite honestly, you can buy alcohol at California Adventure.
I need that pass.
So there's a lot of, there's a couple of good, I mean, expensive bars, but there's a couple of nice bars.
Sure.
This is to just hang out and have some adult.
It's a different vibe.
Fun. It's a very different vibe.
Yeah. It's almost like one park. It's like DCA and Disneyland are one park because you bounce back and forth between them so often. Usually that's what I would do.
Okay. All right.
And do they have any Knott's Berry Farm offers a dining pass, $100 for the whole year. You get two free meals a day.
No, not yet. Not that I've heard, but
they want the money.
Cool.
They want
If we lived closer, I would definitely put into that because I could take the kids over there during the summer for lunch and, you know, free lunch.
Yeah. I do know that. Like what Disneyland is like during Christmas time, they made it permanent. It used to be that with the premium annual pass or the most expensive annual pass, you got like a 15% discount, and then they bumped it up to 20%. 20% is what a cast member gets, on average, unless you're an executive or creative, you know, person working over in Glendale. 20% is what your standard cast member discount is, and so with the premium annual passes now, they offer you free photo pass. You get the 20% discount. You get a 15% dining discount. But, they don't have a pass where you can eat for free. Although, I'm sure if they found out they can charge enough money for it, they would totally do that.
Well, if not to selling it for $100 a year. Maybe Disney could just do $200.
Right. Yeah. So I think people would. I think people.
Oh,
would,
for sure,
would
people would buy it because the foods there are pretty pricey. Which is kind of why I don't think they would do it, because that's where they want
to. Well, they could do it just the ones like that one in Toontown, that little row of like food stops where it's just ice cream, just sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Do it for that, because it's not at Knott's. We can't go sit at that Ghost Town Grill, the sit-down restaurant. But we would get – you get a choice of the taco plate over in Fiesta Village or the hamburgers at the
– They should
– I can't think of the name right now, but it's the cheap food options.
They should do it more like a scavenger hunt where, like, you have to find it. Like, they're not going to tell you where the free food is.
You have to follow the clues to find out where you're getting your where you can redeem your
– I officially endorse that idea.
Isn't that fun?
That's genius.
That sounds like that would actually be fun. Like, they give you clues and – You'd have to find out where you can get.
Because you'd have people going for it. You'd have people.
Bunch of ECVs all racing to each other to find free food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Get all those pass holders out of the way, just searching for food instead of
going on rides. Line. Yeah. Right. So, all right. Well, very good. Thank you, Brandis. And we're going to do our last. You're going to read our last story.
Okay.
Take it away.
Disneyland visitors among 12 cases of Legionnaire's disease in Anaheim. Orange County health experts are investigating 12 cases of Legionnaire's disease among people who live in or visited the Anaheim area in September. 8 of the cases involved people visiting Disneyland, and one person worked at the park. Jessica Good, a spokeswoman for the Orange County Health Care Agency, said in an email Friday night the agency found 12 people, ages 52 to 94, were diagnosed with Legionnaire's disease, a type of airborne disease that causes severe forms of pneumonia to most people 50 years or older or with weak immune systems. One of those diagnosed was a cast member, but where they worked at the park was not disclosed. Of the 12, 10 have been hospitalized, and one person died. The person who died was described as having additional health problems and did not visit the theme park, Good said. Legionnaire's disease usually results from inhaling microscopic water droplets in mist or vapor. The bacterium Legionella living in fresh water rarely cause infections, but indoors it can multiply in water systems such as hot tubs and air conditioners, according to the Mayo Clinic. While the towers in a backstage area behind the New Orleans Square train station were initially cleared, Disney on its own took them back out of service on Tuesday. Disney is working with health officials on the status of the towers. Good said there have been no additional Legionella cases after September and no known ongoing risks associated with the outbreak. In May, a community pool and spa in Foothill Ranch in Southern Orange County was closed after 2 cases of Legionnaire's disease were reported. The disease sent 2 people to the hospital in that case.
So this is icky, right? This is
gross. Yeah, nobody wants to know that they're sick because they literally inhaled like bacteria into their, like, that's multiplying in their lungs.
The part that I found the most interesting in the story was the fact that some of the people, I mean, the majority of the people, had never even been to, had not been to Disneyland. They got this just from walking around Anaheim.
Just living near Disneyland.
Right, yeah. David.
This is an example of the curse of Disney, is that any bad event that happens, and if it any way touches on Disneyland, that becomes the focus. Like, remember a couple years ago, there was the flu outbreak or the
measles outbreak.
Yeah, and the Disneyland measles outbreak. I'm like, no, some idiot parent didn't get their kids vaccinated, took them to Disneyland, and they got other idiot parents' kids
sick. We're
losing
our anti-vaxxer crowd.
And anti-vaxxers, read a science book. That's my advice. But it was Disneyland had – I would hate to work for Disneyland PR. You're like, wait, what? The Disney measles? We didn't give everybody measles? It's like somebody just shows up and is sick and it spreads.
It was ground zero of a measles outbreak, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't Disney's fault.
No, it's not Disney's fault.
It was bad parenting.
Yeah, it's the parents, like, yeah.
They should call it the bad parenting outbreak.
I get what David's saying, though.
It's so like, I hear this.
It's not a measles outbreak. It is a Disney measles outbreak.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a
– I'm sorry. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it a – no, never mind. I'm wrong. Ignore me.
Okay. But even if this was – like, there's no way to know if this was Disney's fault or not, and Disney's taken really proactive measures to do it.
This actually was Disney's fault.
It was.
This has not been anywhere published. Here's what happened, and here's what I know, at least, for whatever that's worth. So this chiller plant is actually located behind the New Orleans Square train station, somewhere between Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion. Essentially, this is the chiller plant that handles all of the air conditioning for the attractions and buildings on that side of the park.
Yeah.
Specifically for Haunted Mansion. When they were rehabbing Haunted Mansion to do the conversion over to Haunted Mansion Holiday, they shut this chiller plant down. And so we had I won't say unusually warm anymore because it's not unusual. We had a very warm summer. So while they had this chiller plant shut down, they did not drain the water out of the plant and allowed it to sit inside the mechanism, where it then collected bacteria and was allowed to just kind of brew. And so when they fired it back up again, this is what they didn't bother to check bacteria levels, and this just kind of spawned from their sort of crappy maintenance that they're guilty of every 10 years or so. This is what I have learned from people that I know that work at the park, and that this is a location where cast members are walking by every day. It faces Anaheim, and so the fact that this happened was actually not much of a surprise to a whole lot of people, because they knew that this plant had been shut down over the summer and not properly maintained.
Now, see, I clean my kids' humidifier very well before I use it when they get sick, because I'm afraid just sitting there, even though it has no water, it's going to collect bacteria that's going to go in the air and they inhale. Like, I can't believe nobody at Disneyland thought that this was, like, bigger than a humidifier case.
Yeah, this is what they're guilty of every once in a while. There's some manager or there's some department head that's looking to cut budgets, or somebody's afraid to say something because they don't want to be singled out as being that guy that raises the problem. And so then it becomes a much bigger issue in the future. And now you've got the Disney Legionnaires' disease.
I agree with you 1,000%.
So who made money off of it? Anybody sue or...?
No, we haven't heard anything yet. So this came out while I was in Florida. Literally, John, associate producer John was
John the first.
Yeah. Juan numero uno
was sending me this story while I was in Florida.
You were holding your breath as you were walking around.
I really was. Well, I mean, if you've been to Florida, it's kind of a humidifier in Florida. But what did you say, Brandy? You had your my favorite comment was, this is the type of thing that you get from what?
Like from a water park in a third world country.
So, all right.
Going back to, I was going to say, sure. like you were saying, Disney, though, anything happens, Disney's name gets dragged through the mud.
Like, oh, yeah.
There was this, like, a sad event, but there was this kid who, his dad took him to Disneyland, and then... You know, then there was a murder.
The Roger
and
Rabbit ride?
The crazy dad ended up killing his son because he's a crazy.
3 days later.
Yeah, but the whole time they were reporting any of that, it was like Disneyland death, Disneyland kid murdered, Disneyland.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with Disneyland.
Well, that wasn't to do Disneyland in a bad light as much as it was like, how crazy is this? He took his kid to Disneyland and then killed him.
They do it because it gets attention. You hear Disneyland dead, and everybody will turn on the news or open up that website, and it had nothing to do with the park.
Yeah. The LA Times is sort of notorious for this, where it's not Southern California lightning storm. It's Disney created, like, you know, it's any time that the word Disney or Disneyland, especially in Southern California media,
spin
is thrown in front of something, it automatically draws eyeballs.
Yeah,
but that ain't, it's not fair. Yeah, especially
that's why when I hand out grades back in my classes, I'm like, Disney gave you an F. So I don't get to blame.
Well, you do work at Cal State Fullerton, so I'm sure half of your students are probably cast members.
A good number are, yeah, former or current, yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for park hopping. We have some time left to. One of the things I wanted to do was sort of do a holiday preview. It's the weekend after Thanksgiving. The decorations are now just going up. Or they should be just going up. And if you have been putting up your decorations, Disneyland, I'm talking to you, before Halloween is over, then, shame on you. So we're going to go through some of the happenings at the Southern California theme parks. And we're going to just try to talk about things and give our opinions. And later on in a couple of weeks when we come back and do our last show of the year, hopefully we'll have had a chance to experience some of these things. And we'll be able to talk about them more in depth. So this is our holiday preview spectacular. All right, so we're going to kick off with a holiday preview at the Disneyland Resort. Disneyland Resort is kicking off its holiday season November 10th and will continue through January 7th. This year, several attractions from years past are returning to both theme parks, including Festival of the Holidays, Haunted Mansion Holiday, Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle, and the Christmas Fantasy Parade. However, Jungle Cruise, a holiday overlay of the classic Jungle Cruise, is staying on the dock this holiday season, a Disneyland spokeswoman confirmed. A Disneyland spokesperson did not elaborate on the reason why the attraction is not coming back this year. The Jungle Cruise will still operate and have touches of holiday decorations in the queue area, but not on the ride. Disneyland began outfitting the Jungle Cruise with holiday decor and renamed it Jingle Cruise in 2013. During the holidays, riders would board renamed boats such as Yule Kissimmee and Yule Kissimmee. That's terrible. And embark on a ride through a jungle decorated with scattered presents, tinsels, and animatronic animals wearing Santa hats. The skippers, who are known for their corny jokes, changed up their usual routine with holiday puns. A popular line as the boat passes by the Indiana Jones ride, I hear Indiana Jones doesn't like New Year's Eve because he's afraid of the giant ball drop.
Ah, clever. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we think about Jingle Cruise not coming back? Are you guys familiar with this, Brandison?
I mean, I've heard of it before. You know what's interesting? I would say, if I was only going to Disneyland once a year or whatever, I kind of would want the less Christmas stuff, you know. Like I know that sounds terrible, but
you hear a lot about that with the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay. It's that people who can only come out this time of year really want to experience the Haunted Mansion in its natural mortal state, but can't because it's all
right.
Jack Skellington until February.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it does sound kind of cool, actually. Interesting change up.
David?
I guess the Jingle Cruise wasn't up when you were in Florida?
No. It was.
It was?
Yeah, and actually we enjoyed it there. I mean, it was fine. We were just at the park the other, like I said, we were just at Disneyland the other day. So it is continuing in Florida, but we were at Disneyland and they have the holiday lights and the holiday decorations in the queue. They just don't have the boat overlay and the spiel changes and for Disneyland. In Florida, it's Jingle Cruise, you know, full steam ahead.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. And doing all my interviews for Skipper Stories, available on Amazon. Perfect holiday gift. Yeah, I'm sticking with that. Okay. I interviewed, our friend Kevin Lively, who helped create the Jingle Cruise, and a bunch of skippers that worked there. And it seems like at Disneyland, the first year of Jingle Cruise, skippers liked it the best, and guests didn't care for it because they thought it wasn't enough. They thought it was going to be this huge Christmas explosion. And after the first year, Imagineering didn't run the one at Disneyland anymore. It was run by the decorations department, like the holiday. And that's when it became an explosion of fruitcakes. And just, I thought it was awful that it just got bigger and bigger every year to where at least the first year there was a story. You could follow the story of the theme. Where then after that, they just said, everything gets fruitcakes, everything has wreaths on it, everything has tinsel, no matter what.
Elephants have Santa hats on for some reason.
Yeah, I thought it was awful. And I'm happy that it's still out in Florida, because that one is still being run by Imagineering. But it's the one out here in California that was taken over by a different department and then shut down. So, I'm with you. I don't like all of the – I'm not a huge fan of too much holiday theming for any holiday, and then I don't like for Christmas, I don't like that it starts the day after Halloween and then it stays till like mid-January. Yeah.
So I found out the reason for that, actually, why if it feels like Christmas is coming earlier and earlier, and this goes back to our discussion about profits and the theme parks turning record profits. So as it turns out, again, from what I'm hearing from people that I know, is that there is a deadline. There is a deadline for holiday decorations to go up at Disneyland and the Disneyland Resort. And that is a hard deadline because they need to put out their press releases. They need to put all their press photos out. They need to put out, you know, all this information promoting the holidays of the resort. The problem is that they don't want to hire any more techs or decorators to come in. And so this is your hard deadline. Here is your staffing level. Do what you can, you know. Okay, well, that's going to take so many people. No. So now they're starting earlier and earlier, which I think the snow was on the castle before Halloween this year.
Wow.
That's because as they've added more and more decorations, they've refused to add the appropriate staffing increases, and so they still have that hard deadline, but they've got to come in earlier and earlier to meet that deadline.
That's probably why it stays for so long.
That's also why it stays for so long, because it's they don't have a hard out though. They don't have a hard deadline out. It has to be up to be able to meet those obligations for press time.
Because they keep it up to like the 7th of January, and maybe this, I don't know, I don't understand this. I talked about it with my wife last night. Every other holiday, like the day after that holiday, you put away all the Halloween stuff, you put away all the Valentine's Day stuff. But Christmas, they keep it for like 3 weeks. It's like on December 26th, I want the tree out of the house. I want it all.
See, I'm the same way, but
away.
I've noticed.
It stays forever.
I've noticed on TV and movies, like people will be having New Year's parties and their Christmas tree is still up. And I see that on TV and I'm like, no. I take mine down. Like, we get home from the in-laws after, you know, Christmas there, and I'm like, done, everything gone.
I know my wife likes to keep it till after the New Year's.
Yeah,
that's traditional.
Yeah, when I was growing up, we kept our tree and our decorations up till after New Year's.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I think because you put so much more out, there's so much more into Christmas, there's more stuff you have out. I think that's why it ends up staying up later, because it's like a whole chore to take it all back down.
Now, if you've ever gone to Walt Disney World after the holidays are over, say in January, some of their decorations are up like a month after Christmas, because it's just the sheer volume of stuff.
So they're the white trash neighbor.
They are the white trash neighbor. Well, they're in Florida, so. Sorry, you're from Florida.
Was the,
if you're from Florida. Yeah,
it's funny because it's true.
Yeah, they know. It's okay. With the 60th anniversary, didn't they leave that stuff up forever?
Yeah, every celebration at Disneyland the Disneyland Resort is 18 months long. So I think the Year of a Million Dreams was 24 months of unmet expectations.
Got it.
You know,
free churros.
Yeah, free churros and pins and
a million reasonable dreams.
Right. All right. So continuing on with our preview of the holidays at Disneyland, at Disney's California Adventure Park, the popular festival of holidays is back to entertain guests with sights, sounds, and tastes of diverse cultural festivities and plenty of Disney magic. Festival of Holidays is a celebration inspired by Christmas, Navidad, Hanukkah, Diwali, Kwanzaa, and Three Kings Day. This contemporary seasonal celebration brings guests together from November 10th to January 7th. Guests will discover something fun and creative around every corner, from food and beverage in 12 marketplace locations to fun craft making and the universal languages of music and dance. So talk about a little bit about the festival of the Festival Foods Marketplace. Also, with Disney has something called Disney Viva Navidad in their back corner over by where the Paradise Pier section is by Goofy Sky School. That's a really neat section. They have a lot of like the Hispanic Christmas traditions, and they have a lot of traditionally Hispanic cultural foods for the holidays. So that's actually a lot of fun. The Festival Foods Marketplace has 12 booths this year. And I won't go into what everyone has, because that would just take forever. But the booths are Making Spirits Bright. They have a mimosa flight with white wine, red wine flight, sparkling wine, something called Joy to the Sauce, salmon, sticky toffee pudding, brandied vanilla. They have an eggnog cocktail that is the most powerful eggnog cocktail that I've ever had. It was actually very good. Spicy celebrations, brews and bites, holiday duets, classic crocks and casseroles, chips, breads, and holiday spreads, chicken liver plate on toast with cherry jam and pistachios, blissfully braised pork belly adobo with garlic fried rice, braised lamb cheeks and Mediterranean cauliflower, a twist on tradition, Reuben potato smash, winter sliderland, which is a holiday ham slider with pineapple relish, roasted turkey sliders, and cranberry sauce. Grandma's recipe.
All right, this is just torture, man.
And the festival holiday extras. We went and sampled a little bit of it, and some of it was good. Some of it was sort of average. We go a lot to Epcot during the Food and Wine Festival, and when Disneyland does these festivals, I have noticed that their food prices are always consistently $2 to $3 above what is charged. So something that would cost you maybe $3 or $4 at the Food and Wine Festival typically costs you like $5 to $7 at the Disneyland food booth. So
that seems like you're still getting away with something.
And it's small. It's like small plates. It's, you know, very small, like single size servings. When we come back in a couple of weeks, I'll hopefully have a chance to.
You'll bring some food back for us.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, because that sounds really good.
No, it is just down the street. The pork belly was very good. The holiday eggnog was very good. It's very hit and miss, though. It's been better in years past. They have a special Festival of Holidays Entertainment. This year, new is the Holiday Sunset Concerts, including a group called Fat Cat Swinger, Friday through Monday, and the Mariachi Divas. Everybody loves the Mariachi Divas. Tuesday through Thursday in Paradise Park. Mostly Kosher, which is a fantastic group that does Hanukkah and Hanukkah-inspired songs. They brought them back this year. And my personal favorite, Princess Elena's Musical Grand Arrival, welcomes the adventurous and kind-hearted Princess Elena of Avalor, her magical friend Skylar, and royal dancers as they share the joys of the holidays with this charming musical celebration. There's a couple of other Blues 13 Dance Company, The Sound, which is a new a cappella act this year, and I hope it's better than their a cappella act last year. Santa's going to greet guests of all ages at Santa's Holiday. The Joyful Elves have transformed Redwood Creek's Challenge Trail into a playground of holiday fun. This actually looked like a lot of fun because they take the normal sort of Challenge Trail where you can run and jump and slide, and they transformed it into this kind of like woodsy sort of Santa's headquarters out in the Redwoods. And
stuff. That's cool.
That was a lot of fun. Also this year, World of Color, Season of Light, which contains music sung by popular artists with memorable moments from Disney animated films. Production of World of Color is more brilliant than ever, containing additional lighting, lasers, and high-definition projections. So the music for World of Color, Season of Light, is got some pretty big-name artists in it. Was rendered in London, Nashville, and Chicago. Includes the Christmas song by Nat King Cole, Let It Snow by Dean Martin, Baby It's Cold Outside. Here's a
That song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is everybody. The rapiest Christmas song ever.
Yeah.
Is the
question how doesn't everybody know that?
Yeah. How do you feel about Baby It's Cold Outside?
My daughter's in a school. Both my daughters are in a school choir program, and they have to sing it for a Christmas show, and it is the rapiest song ever.
It really is.
Yeah.
But then there's people who are like, oh, but it's a classic. That's just how things were back then.
It's a very awkward classic. I think it's...
Yeah. You know what's weird is you never, like, when you're younger, you don't really realize it. But I remember somebody mentioned that to me, like, a couple years back, and then I listened to it. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy is kind of being very pushy.
Watching your junior high daughter sing it on stage really brought it forward to me. Yeah. It's like, I wanted to punch that boy so bad. Yeah.
The high school choir that I did a couple years ago did that song, and it's even more awkward watching, like, high school kids sing it because some of the references to, like, drinking and smoking, and so they've got to, like, cut those parts out and replace them with something else, and it's just...
Oh, the kids' bop version.
Oh, yeah. Is there a Kids Bop version?
No. I'm just... that's what Kids Bop does. They take these totally inappropriate songs and change it. So, like, what's that? Uptown Funk? My son still thinks it says... what is that? Take my cup and put some liquor in it? He thinks it's take my cup and put some liquid in it.
It is what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that song is... I think I used to love that song. I used to think it was just kind of old-timey... old-fashioned, like 1950s fun. I think that it's time to retire that song now. Just give it.
It'll never be the same now that you hear it. You know?
Yeah.
Thanks, Harvey Weinstein.
Right. It's a Small World Holiday returns for its 21st season. Yes, too. It's a Small World Holiday sail through 10 scenes inspired by places around the world, such as Europe, Asia, and Africa, each representing unique cultures, holidays, and traditions. Among the special holiday effects are the scents of fresh pine and peppermint from candy canes in Europe. Nearly 150 giant candles decorate the Christmas tree in the European tradition, and the attraction's finale features a 14-foot snowman. Spoiler alert! And every year it takes a talented team of over 36 cast members, 35 days, other holiday to decorate It's a Small World. Other holiday highlights are the Christmas Fantasy Parade, Santa's Holiday Visit, and all of the decorations along Buena Vista Street at California Adventure, a 1920s-inspired holiday to emulate Los Angeles in the 20s when Walt Disney first moved to California. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up for the Disneyland portion of our discussion. Really quickly, we're going to move on to holidays at Universal Studios, and this is going to be super easy because there's only a couple of new things, one new thing at Universal Studios that they are offering this holiday season. And beginning this holiday season, Universal Studios Hollywood celebrates the all-new Christmas in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter with a dazzling light projection spectacular. As night falls on Hogsmeade Village, the familiar sounds of Harry Potter music will resonate throughout the wizarding world of Harry Potter. Multiple times an evening, colorful projection mapping will illuminate Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry with the magic of Christmas at Hogwarts Castle. And if you head on over to our Facebook page, we actually have a YouTube video preview of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter projection show. A wide selection of all new custom-made Christmas ornaments created especially for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter are now available throughout the holiday season. Collectibles include a variety of decorative Hogwarts Castle snow globes, Hogwarts crest and mascot ornaments representing each of the houses, as well as a collection of unique tree toppers and house pennant garland. Wizard robes and wands and an array of Quidditch game accessories are perfect for gift-giving, at least according to Universal Studios Hollywood. Also, the all-new Christmas in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, boy, that's a mouthful, experience will take place daily from November 24th, 2017 until January 7th, 2018. Universal Studios is also offering new dining options with their holiday feast, their holiday fare. The newly introduced holiday dinner features a roast turkey with gravy that includes pigs in a blanket, a medley of vegetables, braised red cabbage, and roasted potatoes served with cranberry sauce along with Christmas pudding. Grinchmas also returns to Universal Studios Holiday with a Whoo-libration of fun fit for the Grinch, his faithful dog Max, and a roster of Whoville Whos. The annual event comes to life with a towering 60-foot-tall Grinchmas tree where Martha May Whovier, and the Who Dolls will take center stage performing energetic musical sets to usher in the Christmas season in style. The Holiday Singers, which is a hip boy band ensemble, boy oh boy, will perform nightly a cappella concerts featuring a mix of Christmas favorites and pop rock. Grinchmas will take place on select weekends, December 2nd through the 3rd, 9th through the 10th, and then daily from December 15th through December 31st, 2017. We hope to get out there to check some of this out, but we are going to have our friend Erin Owens, who is a big fan of Universal. We're hoping to have her in for a special segment, and she's going to talk about some of her experiences with the Grinchmas and Universal Studios holiday celebrations. So we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about Brandis, and she's going to tell us a little bit about what's happening at Knott's Merry Farm this year.
Okay, Knott's Merry Farm is in season November 17th through January 7th. Guests of all ages can embrace the joy of Christmas at Knott's Merry Farm with classic shows like the Holiday on Ice show featuring Snoopy, the Peanuts Gang, and a cast of world-class ice skaters, the nightly tree lighting ceremony, and the Christmas Carol. Plus, stroll through the merry streets of Calico for unique seasonal treats, Santa's Christmas Cabin, traditional live Christmas carolers, a Christmas craft village, an enchanting snow and glow show with nightly falling snow, and so much more. There will be new food for the holiday season. Calico will be holiday central as it becomes Christmas craft village, where you may shop for unique gifts and hear songs from traditional Christmas carolers. In Santa's Christmas cabin, you can share your wish list and take a photo with Mr. Claus. There will also be seasonal food and treats available, including cookies, pastries, chocolate-dipped cheesecake on a stick, craft beer, hot chocolate, and hot-spiced holiday wine, plus new tastes such as handmade chicken and beef tamales. Another new item is the Christmas pizza found at Hollywood Hits. Its soft dough is topped with sliced turkey, stuffing, gravy, and cranberry sauce. Not listed on here, they also have Brussels sprouts on it.
Ooh.
Entertainment. The Peanuts characters will be featured in three different shows this year, with new shows and some returning favorites. See, other special Merry Farm highlights include the Calico Christmas Show, and the Calico Saloon. Cameo Kate and Dakota Dan invite you to their musical turn of the century holiday celebration. Head into the Calico Saloon, grab a boysenberry beer or sarsaparilla, and watch a classical Old West review show.
Cool. So I know we have a lot of descriptions on there, but we're running out of time,
yep,
a little bit. So if you want to just give us the rundown, okay, without the description, we'll...
That's fine. Cool. So we have Calico Carolers, Christmas Crafts Village in Ghost Town, Snow and Glow in Ghost Town, and that's it.
Have you guys had a chance to see any of these holiday offerings yet?
Yes, at the preview night and in years past. One thing that is the best is seriously the Snow and Glow, which is really just fake snow in Ghost Town, but it only happens after sunset.
Oh, very cool.
So everyone should go see that.
So we've got a few minutes left here. The last thing we wanted to talk about is you guys recently got the chance to go. Brandis and John are annual pass holders at Knott's Berry Farm along with their children. You guys got to go to a special annual pass holder party.
Yes. It used to just be called Pass Holder Appreciation Night. This year it was Pass Holder Christmas Preview or something. But it's really nice that they do this for the pass holders.
Get a couple cool things. You get like a...
collectible ornament,
and you just get to get in first and see what all the, you know, cool stuff is. Every year they have different things, like so just give you a chance to get in there and before anybody else does. One year they had this really cool thing. I wish they would bring it back, but they had this ice tray. Okay, so imagine this,
it was
like
snow
trough thing, and they would pour like hot molasses on it and like put a stick in there, and you'd have this like molasses like sucker.
I think it was maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Oh,
I remember
super
that.
Super awesome.
The last time I went to Knott's Berry Farm,
I don't know,
years ago. Yeah, that was really good.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can see why they wouldn't bring it back because logistically.
They should hire five people to do it, like five different stations.
Because you have to constantly replace the snow. You have to keep the maple syrup at a certain temperature that's dangerous.
I remember the kid that was doing it had like syrup everywhere. He was like, it was getting out of control for him. But we didn't this time, but I'm interested in seeing the Christmas Carol play that they do there in the Birdcage Theater, because usually they're kind of good there, you know.
David and I have a friend that is Mel Cox.
Yeah,
he's the mayor,
deputy
mayor of, of Calico, and he's also in the Birdcage Theater.
Deputy mayor. Okay, so that's the we went to like every Ghost Town Alive thing. So we don't know him, but if I saw him, I'd be like, oh yeah, there's
the guy. You would know him
if
you saw him. Yeah, he's amazing.
They're good. They're good. Yeah. They're so good there. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Did you guys have any favorites from when you got your preview?
Well, my favorite was the hot spiced wine,
sounds good.
It is really delicious, and it's just enough alcohol to leave you relaxed without getting drunk. So
it's a bummer, is what you're saying.
No, you could get a second one.
All right then.
Yeah.
No, I just liked it because I don't want to be there drunk with my kids, but I wanted the hot wine.
Yeah.
And so with the crowd,
without our kids, that's a totally different story.
Yeah.
Oh,
it left me relaxed enough that the crowds weren't bothering me. I could tolerate my kids taking forever on their cookie decorating.
Well, that's because I was helping them with it.
And you mean you decorated it?
Well, yeah. I had a fiasco, too. Like, you know, they have these little squeeze bottles with, like,
frosting,
and, like, I was trying to get it out, and it was, like, frosting everywhere.
That's happened.
Yeah. So, anyway, but it was the only thing about it, if you go on the first night, it's cool because you see stuff, but it's super crowded as well. So that's why I think it's cool if we go back with a group of friends and just kind of, you know, check it out on a normal night or a weekend night, Sunday night.
Well, plus it was on a Thursday, so our kids needed to go to bed, so we couldn't do everything we normally would do.
But yeah, it's still cool, and the snow is really awesome. You know, they what is it? 8:15 is when they drop it.
It's I don't know for that night because it opened at 7, so I don't know if it's going to be after sunset or if it's always going to be starting at 8:15. But it's pretty much every 15 minutes they play "Let It Snow," and then it snows in Ghost Town, and the lights flash with the music and. Like I said, it looks magical. It's not real snow. It's foam, but it looks like it's real.
Don't ruin the magic. It's real snow.
It really snows and goes down. It's
remember Southern California.
When we were blowing to Jungle Cruise?
No.
You remember that?
No.
When they would do the snow on Main Street. When it was like Santa Ana winds, by backside of water, and here comes all these snowy bubbles. You're like, it's snowing in the jungle now.
We all grew up in Southern California, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember years and years and years ago, Knott's Berry Farm used to have sledding.
Yes.
In the back.
Yes, I love
back
that.
End of the property when it was still a roaring 20s.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yes, I actually had never seen snow in my life, and my mom took me to Knott's Berry Farm to do the sledding because I wanted to so bad, and I was so worried I didn't have mittens to wear in the snow because you're supposed to dress for snow. And in my, you know, little girl head, I'm not thinking it's Southern California, so I actually stuffed my pockets with old socks to put on my hands to go sledding.
They used to do all kinds of cool stuff, like during the holidays, and you know, they used to have. This is kind of funny. This is really telling. But they used to do. Remember Pogs and Slammers?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I won a tournament there when I was a kid.
Remember.
Crazy enough.
That's why I married him.
I know. It's really, really. I don't know why I said that out loud. I regret it now, but at the time, it was really awesome.
That was a super cool thing. Yeah, because you used to go to.
Do you remember that?
Parks, yeah. And they were like, they'd be part of the giveaway. Yeah. Like, come and.
Pogs were huge.
Pogs were huge.
Joe Cool. You still have your Joe Cool Pog, I think.
I don't.
It wasn't Joe Cool. No, not Joe Cool. What is it?
I don't know. I have a bunch. I gave a bunch of them away to the boys.
It's
so.
The Snoopy one with the sunglasses.
Joe Cool.
Yeah, it's Joe Cool.
Yeah, you still have that.
I'm looking forward to the ice show. The ice show is one of my favorites that they do.
Oh,
there
gosh.
Year.
I always love watching those.
Not a fan.
It's for me, it's not the entertainment. I know this is going to sound really weird, but I love seeing how muscular their legs are. Like when the men lift up the women, seeing, you know, like all the muscles and just like they're so fit and it's so fascinating.
I always like to joke. It's like, you know, your kids go through, you know, hey, what's Janie doing this year? You know, she had the Olympic trials a couple of years ago. She's a ranger at Knott's Berry Farm. You know,
yeah.
So, but yeah, they're doing another show in Camp Snoopy. That sounds really cute. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Hopefully, we'll all get a chance to go out there together and experience it. But that is going to do it for this episode of Vacation Land. We certainly hope you have enjoyed it. So on behalf of Brandis and John the Dose and David Marley and associate producer John, who could not be here with us, was here in spirit. We want to thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacation Land.